This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. Got a lot of stuff done. Was able to help a friend out a little bit with a few things. It was one of those situations where I was at Walmart, and one of my friends there at Walmart, we were talking, and he had a need, and I said, well, I'll be praying about that, and I walked outside, and then Jesus said, you know, when you just say, go be in health, hope everything works out for you, and then you just walk away, that's not good. So I got on the horn and talked to a couple of people and went back in, talked to him. We went here, went there, blah, 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 blah. But we got it done. So there you go. So that's good. Writing is going good. I actually, this is one of those days, and I'm right next to a car that has one of those glorious sound systems in it. Although it sounds like his speakers are blown. Yeah, because his subwoofer doesn't have a good punch on the bottom. I was like, so he's probably been playing his stereo a little too loud. Anyways, so yes. So all is well. We're puttering along. God is good. He's kind. The writing's going fine. Although this week's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Because I'm about 250 words down right now. I think. Yeah, somewhere around there. I may be able to get that caught up tonight. But tomorrow I have to take my dad to Mount Vernon in the middle of the afternoon. So that's going to cut into my writing. And then Saturday, I have a breakfast, and then I have a children's choir rehearsal that's going to chew up the morning, and then I'm going to help set up the sound at church after that, so that's going to chew up some time, so I'll have the afternoon, probably I can get to 10,000. This week, and then Sunday I'm running for the Sunday morning service, and then of course we have lunch, and then have to be back in at like 3 o'clock because the children's choir is doing their thing. So yeah, so I don't know how much writing I've got to get that on Sunday, which is my big day. That's hard to recover from when I lose a Sunday, but I think I've done it before, so we'll say step at a time. I'm sure it will be fine. I think I'm in pretty good shape. I've still got some things that I've got to get to come together, and I'm not quite sure, but you know, you write it out, you see what happens. Magic happens. That's what happens. So all is well. All is well. I had mentioned last week that this week I was going to be talking about why it's the Enlightenment's philosophy's fault that women wear high heels instead of men. So, needless to say, I found an article, and I was fascinated by the title. As you may be able to infer, the title is, quote, "It's Enlightenment Philosophy's Fault That Women Wear High Heels Instead of Men" by Olivia Goldhill. Now, we should acknowledge right now that most of the headlines that you read now in any kind of news supposedly reporting, most of them are clickbait at this point. I think I mentioned at one point, it was like, eat this kind of meat 2 to 3 times a week and stave off Alzheimer's. And I was like, yeah, it's fish. And I clicked on it. Yep, it was fish. And that's not news. But by saying, eat this kind of meat, as opposed to just, eat fish 2 to 3 times a week, well, you wouldn't need to read the article then. If the headline actually told you what was in the article, people wouldn't click on it. So you have to obscure, you have to make it more sensational. You know, you have to make it more intriguing or titillating. Hence the title of the article. It's Enlightenment Philosophy's fault that women wear high heels instead of men. Now then. However, the body of the article does seem to support the author's contention. Well, does seem to be written from this viewpoint that the author is looking to assign blame for why women wear high heels instead of men. I find this fascinating. So, here we go. She starts off the article by talking about the fact that a first time a woman put on heels, she wasn't trying to be uber feminine. And I did know this, because if you do the historical research, what you find is that in 17th century Northern Europe, only men wore high heels. And there was a reason for that. And the reason was that high heels actually came from Persian and Mongolian horsemen, and they used the high heels so that they would catch the stirrups better. So soldiers wore them while riding on horseback, and it helped them stay in the stirrups. So men in England and Holland would have become acquainted with this look by about the mid-16th century, when they traded textiles in what would then have become the Iranian Empire and would have encountered the empire's large mountain military. Probably because of that, maybe because the heels gave a bit of height, and maybe because they shaped the calf, because in that time, men were wearing the breeches that kind of come up over the knees so you could see the knee highs. I've brought this back into style, or at least I've tried to, because I normally get knee highs and roll them all the way up to about where those breeches would hit. That's my Friday look. I don't do that when I go to my major client, because I'm just trying to be left-brained at that point. But on Fridays, I do like to wear knee highs, and then I, you know, roll up my pants so that they're cutting right underneath my knee, which is about where the Renaissance pants would hit, and then men would wear stockings underneath that. And I'm told that men would also make a leg when they were standing there talking, so women could see the shapely calves that they have, and, you know, big shapely calves were in. And in fact, the reports are, if I remember correctly, that there were times when women would swoon seeing a man's calves. So much so that I've read somewhere, and it's been a long time, that there were even inserts that some men would get, fake calves, that that they would wear so that they would be more attractive to the opposite sex. So yes, men probably not only wore these because they were considered more masculine, but they probably wore them because they shaped the calf a little better, etc., etc. Anyways, so it is likely and reasonable and apparently historically accurate that men, in fact, did wear heels before women in Europe. Now, they were block heels. They were not stilettos. They were block heels. So then, what happened after that? Well, according to this curator, Semmelhack, who is being interviewed in this article, She says there was a fashion trend at the time for some women, those willing to take sartorial risks, to borrow from the male wardrobe. So in other words, some women were even looking to be a bit more masculine, and a few were even accused of carrying weapons to look more masculine. It was seen as both fashionable and daring, says Semelhack, though of course they faced ridicule from some corners. Quote, there's been no time in history when women haven't been criticized for what they wear, and this was no exceptions. Okay, so for a few years in there, both men and women were wearing high heels in Europe. But by the end of the 17th century, Enlightenment ideas put an end to such androgynous styles. This philosophy emphasized rationality and practicality, but as distinctly male traits. So, in other words, rationality and practicality were seen as something that men embraced, not women, and that women were seen as emotional, irrational, and distinct from men. So under the Enlightenment, according to this author, gender rather than class became the main way of dividing society. Quote, these are stunning ideas, we're back to Semelhack, that maybe the difference between people isn't status at birth, but gender at birth. Maybe all men are united despite what separates them economically, and separated all women who are united regardless of economic standing. So, in light of that, in particular, aristocratic men stopped wearing ornate clothing to signify their class, taking on a more monochrome look that was homogeneous across economic classes. Practical, flat-footed suits were in, and high heels were definitely out. So, they also go on to note that some of the key ideas separating men from women were explicit in Enlightenment philosophy. Semelhack notes that Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the 18th century Swiss-French Enlightenment philosophers, wrote extensively on sentimentality and motherhood, and believed that women's principal focus should be on the family. This sort of sexism was further enforced by the public interpretation of Enlightenment ideas in sermons at the time. Semelhack says there were constant comments about the illogical, frivolous nature of women. Okay, now that you'd have to do a lot of research to find out how much was there and how much wasn't there, but we'll take it as a given that this is correct. High heels, less practical than flat-footed shoes for anyone not on horseback, soon became associated with female traits of frivolity and irrationality. By the 19th century, in Europe, the heel was unassailably feminine, notes Semelhack. Then European imperialism spread this idea around the world. Once European men abandoned the heel in the early 18th century, the meanie becomes so hyper-feminized that as imperialism goes global, those meanings are then brought with the high heel. Okay, so the author of the article ends it with, but though high heels today have an unquestionably feminine association, Semelhack says the meaning is far from intrinsic. Quote, heels are just things. Exactly. They can be given any meaning we decide they have, she says. The author asks her, so could men start wearing heels once more? And she says, well, anything is possible. Now, there have been music videos that have featured, you know, guys in shorts and hose and heels and all that kind of stuff. There's certainly been plenty of gay men and transsexual men who have been in heels and hose and those sorts of things. But what I find so interesting about this is that, according to the article, the point of this article is to establish whose fault it is. Whose fault it is that women wear heels instead of men. And the fault is laid squarely, according to this article, on enlightenment. Okay, enlightenment philosophy. Okay. But what I find so fascinating about this is that supposedly, women originally started wearing heels because men wore them because they wanted to be more masculine. And then that caught on. So when men switched away from heels, then why didn't women switch away from heels? Why weren't there those same women who said, yeah, we're not putting up with that? Because this is dumb. These things hurt, especially when you get into things like stilettos and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, they're murder on the feet. I was just listening to a comedian, and she was talking about the fact is, 5 hours is a maximum. You have to get out of them. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so why? You know, is it still enlightenment philosophy that is enforcing women? You know, were women told that they had to wear heels during the enlightenment? Of course not. You know, women chose to wear heels once they started wearing heels because heels were useful. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, when you put a woman in heels, it changes her posture, it changes her gait, it tucks in her hips, it shoves out her chest. Some people have classified heels and the shape of a woman's body when she is in heels as, I think they classified it as, a super stimuli because it just changes how a woman looks. And so what happened when women started wearing heels is men looked at them and started treating them differently when they were in heels. And women recognize that, well, hey, this works. This gets me closer to what my goal is. And the question is, what is the goal? I just finished watching. Okay, there's a lot of language in it, so I really can't recommend it. And there's a lot of adult topics in it. I just started watching. I've lost her first name. I don't know. I think she's funny. She's just got a new Netflix comedy special out called Elder Millennial. Rats, I've lost her name. But she talks about, you know, this whole mating ritual stuff and why women dress up and why women want men to, you know, approach them and et cetera, et cetera. She says a lot of really interesting things. Like one of the things she says that, you know, because we enjoy being appreciated by men we find attractive. And then she kind of pauses. Yeah. So what we're postulating here is we're going to get all dressed up and then we're going to go out in the world and we want to be able to control who looks at us and who compliments us. And as long as the guy is attractive, it's okay for them to compliment us. Wow. Really? Really? That's the mental gymnastics you're going through? That seems a little narcissistic and megalomaniacal to believe that you can actually control who looks at you because you only want men who are attractive to look at you. Anyways, but she also goes through this whole thing of motherhood, wanting a baby. And she talked about how in her 20s, she didn't care. She didn't care about having a baby. She didn't care. She didn't care. She didn't care. And she said, then, you know, she gets into her 30s. And she said she was just walking through an airport just the other day. And she said she looked over at a baby, and that baby dared to have its chubby little leg hanging out. And she said she just couldn't stop herself from going over and asking if she could squeeze that chubby little leg. Because motherhood is very deep in many, 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 many women. Motherhood is very deep. And the goal of motherhood is a huge goal for many, many women. And in order to reach the goal of motherhood, at this point, you still, it's useful to have a guy. So then, if heels can draw the attention of more men to give you a bigger pool to choose from, etc., etc., ta-da, that's why we wear heels. So, yeah, no, it's not Enlightenment philosophy that forced women into heels and kept them there. It's because women found out they were useful. This is Phil Farron, and I was going to say some more things, but my dad just called, so I got to go. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.